Welcome to the STEMdadian Network. I'm Charles Mudd, the host of STEM Voices. With STEM Voices, we want to bring you, the listeners, young, old, anywhere in between, the voices of those individuals contributing to the advancement of science, technology, engineering, math, and so many related subjects. We believe that we should all encourage young girls and boys, men and women, to pursue those opportunities in STEM-related fields. We live in exciting times. No longer are trips to the moon or colonization of Mars simply the imagination of science fiction. They actually happen to be the topics of real discussions. We explore and learn new planets. Science is bringing us so many advancements. These are indeed exciting times. And to that end, we hope that our programming might encourage, might inspire any one individual out there, perhaps you, to explore things STEM-related. With that, I hope that you sit back, relax, and enjoy this broadcast of STEM Voices on the STEMdadian Network. Welcome to another episode of STEM Voices. Proud to be a part of the STEMdadian Network, along with our sister shows, Startup Radio, and Gaming Chords. But today, of course, we are on STEM Voices and talking with Wendy Erickson about women in drones. I'm your host, Charles Mudd, and Wendy, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Well, thank you for having me, Charles. I am great.
So it's really, I want to take a step back because as I've been learning more about what you're doing and the things that you're promoting and with women and drones and so forth, I want to step back and kind of have you take us through how you came to be in this place, because I understand you have a very good career, I guess former career, being an anchor reporter and anchor and show host for television and media. How did you, is that where you started, is in journalism and, yes, and television?
Yes, exactly. When I was in high school, I decided that because my teachers were telling me that I was very good at writing, that I would become a journalist, and kind of unusual for some high school students to have an idea what they want to do in high school, but I guess I said that out loud, and then I continued on pursuing it and went and got a bachelor's degree from Michigan State University in communications and broadcast journalism, and graduated and sent out my tapes and got a call from a news director in tiny little Iowa, an Iowa town, and he said, would you like to come and do a news program for us? And I said, sure. So I jumped in my little car and I drove 7 hours, and I was then living in rural Iowa, and I grew up in the Chicago area. So I didn't quite know what hit me, but there I was pursuing my dream of becoming a television journalist. It wasn't exactly what I thought it would be starting out, but I stuck with it, and I ended up having 25 years in as a broadcast journalist, most recently working for the NBC affiliate in St. Louis, Missouri, so top 20-some market, and I really I enjoyed very much what I did, meeting new people, interviewing everyone from President Jimmy Carter to a couple celebrities. The show that I did in particular was, towards the end of my career, was a show that was a feature show about things to do and see in and around the St. Louis area. So it was a great career. And I ended it about 4 years ago, just needing a little more flexibility with, I have three grown daughters, and they, at the time, heading off to college, and I was a little overwhelmed. So I'll still do some freelance journalism.
Sure, sure. Well, and was that first in Iowa, was that first job at the KVUE TV?
That one is Austin, Texas, but the first one's probably not even on there. I was only there for 8 months because I literally was a one-woman, right out of college, news program doing stories about little Harriet at the veterans home who was turning 100 and having a 100th birthday party. It was lovely, but I wasn't learning anything. There was no one around me to teach me anything. I had just the skills from what I remembered from college and operating the camera and doing the interviewing, but I did the editing. And it just
you did it all.
I did it all, and I guess that's a great way to start out. Very humbling. And so I probably didn't even put that on there, but I will never forget that experience of living in a rural Iowa community trying to be a TV news person. So I was very serious about it, but
it helped shape who I am. Yeah, well, and so I've always wondered, you know, when I was in high school, I grew up in the Midwest or the Chicago area as well, and our high school was fortunate enough to have a radio station, and so I dabbled a little bit in radio there. But I always wondered where the demarcation line was between stations with the W in front and the K in front of them. I've never been able to figure that out. Do you know where that, I don't know if it's the Mississippi River or something, but it seems
every... Right. I don't know the line actually myself, but I do know there. I worked for W's and I worked for a K. So,
now,
that's a good question.
Did you, you worked in then Austin and then you said you moved to St. Louis. Do you find that and I guess now actually to some extent with the Women in Drones, you are doing journalism. So it's almost, as you said, being told when you were in high school that you wrote well and then you were going into journalism, you went into TV and kind of went that route. But it seems that with Women in Drones, and we'll get in more detail with that or it itself, but you are coming full circle in doing writing articles and producing podcasts and so forth for Women in Drones. So it is still related to what you were doing, right?
It is. It is still related. And I did. That was my point about saying that in high school, because I was good at writing, I thought really, and at the same time, people tell you in high school or people who are giving, elders who are giving you advice, you've got to do something that you like and that you're passionate about. So I thought, well, okay. My math class, I get a good grade in math, but it's really hard and I have to work twice as hard at it. And I really like biology. I was interested in dissecting the frogs and everything. But again, the tests, I had to work a lot harder than I had to do in my English writing classes. So therefore, I must have to go into a writing career because if they're telling me that I have to be passionate and about it and I have to like it because it's what you're going to do for the rest of your life, then therefore math, science must not be my thing. And so I look back on that and I think, gosh darn it, even though I did have I really enjoyed my career and I enjoy the field I'm in, I probably could have handled, you know, something more in the math and science, you know, type of a career. But when you're that young and kind of assessing it, that's just kind of what I thought. And once I got on that bandwagon, I thought, well, I have to run with it. So this Women in Drones, that story has to do with the fact. So I had retired from my TV career, right, and was still doing some freelance stuff, but I was watching television. I'm a news junkie. I watch all the news, even though a lot of people do not get their news that way anymore. But I was watching the news and I saw the first images that I believe it was NBC network identified as drone pictures of the aftermath of an earthquake. I think it was in the Philippines. And I saw drone images and these pictures, you know, going over all the devastation. And that was my light bulb moment where I thought, my goodness, this is a game changer for broadcast journalism. Because over the years, you know, television news uses helicopters. Well, more than once I had been denied the use of a helicopter for a story that I was doing that maybe wasn't of huge consequence. It wasn't about a disaster or breaking news or anything, and it may be more on the feature side. And the news director would say, "Well, we're not going to spend the $1,000 to put the helicopter in the air just for that kind of a story." So I thought, "My gosh, these drones, we can get images." The reporter, the photographer themselves can just put it in the air and get the pictures we need. No more asking for a helicopter and paying for that.
Right.
So that was my light bulb moment. I started the research and on what drones and what they're doing, and I've been riding this roller coaster of just trying to keep up with all the changes in this technology, and that's how I ended up with Women in Drones.
So how long ago was that that you saw that first that NBC broadcast?
3 years ago.
Okay. And you said that you have three daughters. What are their thoughts of you diving into the drone world?
They laugh and make fun of me. So, and that pushes me even more, I have to say. My daughters are right now, they're 22, 19, and 15. And so they like to give their mom a hard time, but part of my what I my matri Women in Drones also supports STEM initiatives for young girls, and that's another thing that I am passionate about because of the fact of my own daughters. My oldest daughter is going to be graduating in May from college with a degree in bioengineering, and
Wow.
when she started her college career and what should she major in? My husband and I really had to convince her to go into engineering. She had the ability to, with the math and the science and liked it. She liked writing too, and she, was listening to a lot of what her friends were doing. And we just really pushed her to pursue a technical degree in engineering. And now I think she understands why. And it wasn't fun. It probably wasn't as fun as it was a little, extra studying probably for her. She's in my category where maybe that doesn't come as easily, but you have to work twice as hard. But now she is seeing the benefits of that. And so that is where my passion for STEM is. And the whole drone thing, she kind of gets it, and she knows friends now who, but sadly it's young men who are interested in drones. I can't say that any of her girlfriends think it's neat that I am in drones as much as the young men who are, in more technical careers. So
Well, no,
they're yeah.
yeah, I completely understand that. I mean, I think it's really cool that you have started Women in Drones, and you started it with, did you start it yourself, or there was another partner that you have with that, correct?
Yes. So Sharon Rothmark is really the person, my partner who started Women in Drones. It was her idea, and that evolved from the fact that we both ended up about 3 years ago when I started my research. There was a conference, a 3 day conference in the Chicago area that we both attended for drones, flying drones. I wanted to find out more. And so we both ended up at that conference. We met each other, and I think we've settled on there were maybe four or five women to about 80 to 100 men at this conference. And we all sat together, the women all sat together at lunch one day. And Sharon, pointed out that, wow, we're kind of outnumbered here. And she kept in touch with me after that. She said, "I have this idea. I feel like women pursuing drones need a community of their own." And she just kept at it, and the rest is history. So I have to give her the credit. And then she's the business side of it. That's her background, and I'm more of the journalist side. So together, it kind of evolved. And you know, it's not even been a year, but the response has been tremendous. And we're a global platform, social media and our website, and the women from around the world is what really has been surprising to us, reaching out
Really?
and yes, saying, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this. There's nothing here in my country, and but I'm flying drones, and I need ideas. I want to network. I want to learn. So.
And let me clarify. I mean, I guess it's not surprising. I mean, I personally think drones are cool. So it's not surprising to me that anyone would find drones to be cool, but nonetheless, I still am surprised by maybe the number at the conference, as you said, the small number. But what's great from what you've said is that, I mean, I guess I'm surprised and not surprised, but at the same time, I think what's fantastic is by starting Women in Drones, the two of you and Sharon, getting a response from people, from women around the world, and coming together and having that sense of community. I mean, so what do you do? What do you provide for your members or for any young girl or woman that is interested in drones? What do they get from your organization? I mean, which the camaraderie is enough in and of itself, but why don't you tell me about what you all do?
I would love to tell you about what you do. First of all, let me give you a statistic that kind of backs up the story about us being just a handful of women in a drone conference with a lot of very nice men, I have to say. They didn't make us feel bad at all. So but it's just about the numbers. But of the FAA about a year ago said that you have to have, if you want to be a commercial drone operator, make money using your drone. Say you want to take pictures for real estate, anything that makes money versus somebody who's just a hobbyist now. But if you want to be a commercial drone operator, you have to get this Part 107 certification.
Right.
So that went on board in August. So this number is amazing to me. Of the 20,362 remote pilot certificates issued by the FAA from August to December of 2016, last year, women make up only 4% of them. I'm one of them. Sharon's one of them, but only 4%. So that was, again, just kind of just solidified what we thought. We already knew that we needed this community. So we built this website, and we started asking women to send us their stories. What are you doing with drones? And they came flooding in, and scientists using them in Australia to just kind of keep track of the wildlife region there in Australia. And there's, you know, a photographer in Philadelphia, and we had them submit their stories. So right now there's about 40 different profiles of women from around the world who are using drones, and a wide range. Some of them are just, you know, just starting out and hobby learning, looking to build their hobby. We also so we put their stories out there, and I think that is inspiring to other women who might Google drones and women and come up on our website and say,
Right.
okay, wow, she's doing that, she's doing this, giving them that support. We also have just we have photos, obviously. The drone photography is a big area, and it's just really great to just look at some of those images and be inspired by that. And we have a section there for STEM. We our hope we have a couple things on there, but we want to people to tell us about different STEM opportunities out there for young girls. So for example, we heard from a group called the Moxie Girls, and they're out of Arizona. It's an all-girl 6th to 8th grade computer science club at Sierra Vista, no, Sierra Verde STEM Academy in Glendale. And they are a bunch of motivated girls and wanted to tell us their story and become involved in a model aircraft show, and we're looking for some support. The Academy of Model Aeronautics is holding, it's their second year of holding a UAS for STEM competition, and these girls wanted to be the first ever all-girl team, so they were looking for some support. I don't think they quite, it's an expensive contest to enter because you have to buy the kits that to build the drones, but I don't know if they ever made it, but we put them on there on our website. We wanted to give them the publicity and hopes that somebody would support something like that and let parents or other women know that there are opportunities for young girls to get them interested in drones or whatever, anything in aviation in greater numbers than they are right now. So basically, it's kind of a just a community, womenanddrones.com right now, and we have big plans to add to it and new features and but basically a place for women to get ideas and connect with other women and learn about drones.
Let me stop you there for a moment because I really like the story about the school and those young girls, and I hope that they did get the funding, and if not, and it was still going, I'm glad to hear about that because I know that we and other people would like to help, and I think that it may be that that deadline's passed, but it's great that you're providing a forum where if people want to get something out about that, that they can learn about it. And so and that prompts another question that I or a question that I have is, I have two sons, so they're both younger than your youngest, but one of the things that we were doing this week is looking at electives for junior high, 7th grade. My oldest is moving into 7th grade, and they do have a drone class. And it'll be interesting to see how many girls sign up for that. But I think that those are the kind of things that it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you invite people out there in the community to send in or to let you know about, where there are opportunities for girls, young women to get involved in anything drones. Is that the case? Should they send you those kind of opportunities?
Definitely, definitely. We want to know about them. And it's kind of tough when you have a global platform, that we can't probably, well, but putting them on our website is, gets the information out there. And
Right.
our hope would be that somebody would get on our website and they're looking for something in their region of the country and that there would
Sure.
be something there. Right now it's so we're not quite there yet, but yes,
But
to answer
it'll
your
grow,
question,
right? And I
yeah,
think
it'll grow. Yes.
it's like
And
a connection. I mean, is the more that people learn about women and drones, the more that people will learn about these opportunities and be able to share them, and then the more opportunities that there'll be that people can learn about. And I want to get back to women and drones, but I also want to ask, what are beyond women and drones, what do you do with your drones? What do you go out and do with drones? Are you doing something commercial, or is it just to fly in the park, at the forest preserve? What do you do?
well, I do photography, and but it's funny, I had every intention to do a lot more of it, but I kind of got sidelined with writing about drones. So right now I am still, I was just out yesterday taking advantage of nice weather because drones don't like wind or they don't like any sort of moisture. So the winter time is a tough time in the Midwest to fly them. So
Sure.
and it's been really wet, a wet spring. So right now, so I'm really just taking photographs for my own self. I'm very passionate about the journalistic side. That's what I started out using drones in journalism. But I have not, I've just kind of gotten preoccupied with the journalism side of writing about other women who are using drones. So, but I love getting out there and flying. I was just out yesterday at one of our local Academy of Model Aeronautics sanctioned fields. And I'm a member of the AMA, and I walked out there, flew my drone. There were a couple of gentlemen flying their planes, and one gentleman had one of those giant helicopters doing the most amazing maneuvers with this thing. But afterwards, I was leaving, and he goes, asking me what kind of a drone that was, and he told me that his wife has a drone of her own. And I said, well, where's she? And he said, oh, she didn't come today. He goes, I have to tell you, I'm really impressed that you just walked out there and started flying on your own. He said, she would never come out here on her own. She would only come with me. And I said, why not? And he goes, I don't know. She just doesn't feel confident and wouldn't do that on her own. So that I wish for women and young girls to have that confidence. And I don't know why RC remote control airplanes are mostly the clubs. The club that I'm a member of is mostly all men. I don't know why that is, and I would love to change that. Give the women or girls the confidence to fly. And I might crash it, but so will the guy next to me.
Sure,
So
sure.
yeah.
What is the, you
And
mentioned the AMA. What is that?
so that is the Academy of Model Aeronautics. And that is the it's a very long established organization that is basically the hobby, the model. They do a lot of things, but they're the club that you that have has promoted and supported model aeronautics for many years in this country.
Right.
And they have a whole system of their own government and the people who run it, and they're involved in all of this transitioning to helping the FAA regulate drones. They've been pulled into that as well. The drones are kind of the AMA is working together with the FAA, and when they've had to pull all together all the regulations that have happened in the last year and will continue to happen. But and the Academy of Model Aeronautics has started 2 years ago this contest that I was talking about, the UAS for STEM. That is their way of introducing drones into their normal events, I guess, that they hold and support. So they put on this challenge where students build their drone and then perform a search and rescue, and
Very cool.
the teams compete against each other, and obviously somebody wins the top prize. So so they're doing that right now. They're holding the contest regionally, and then we'll hold the final competition, and a team from somewhere will be crowned the winner of this year's UAS for STEM competition.
Let's talk a little bit more about STEM and what do you think we need to do it just generally the and I guess parents or adults out in the world, the society, what do we need to do to promote STEM? What do you think are some things that even just regular individuals can do to help push that along? And of
Well,
course, I mean, there's STEM. Obviously, there are people in science, technology, engineering, and math, but oftentimes when, and that's just for our listeners, probably know given that this is STEM Voices, but one of the big objectives nationwide, if not worldwide, is to encourage young girls, women to pursue endeavors, whether that be education, careers, what have you, or just recreational items like flying drones. in those areas. So what do you think are some of the things that people can do in that regard?
Well, I can speak from my own experience, in terms of when I was trying to convince my daughter that she should major in some sort of engineering or a technical degree of some sort. My husband is an engineer, so there was some the subject that already had existed in my family. But she's like, I don't want to work in a lab, and I don't want to. She had very certain ideas, as I think a lot of young people do, about what a degree in engineering or what a degree in biology or what a degree in any of the STEM type degrees would be. And so I found myself having to do things like I'd read an article in the paper about I remember a cosmetics company. I don't even remember what the article was about, but it mentioned that the CEO was a female and that she had a chemical engineering degree. And I said to my daughter, look, this woman runs a cosmetics company and she has a chemical engineering degree.
Right.
I have a daughter, my girls are girly girls, so I had to find a way to appeal to her and make it clear that your degree doesn't, the stereotypes, kind of just pulling down some of those stereotypes of what they might think. So to answer your question, I feel like it's just career fairs that schools do and bringing in people from the community and meeting men or women who have a job and a STEM type of a career and having them explain what they do. And I feel like that just kind of opens up their young eyes to see the possibilities of, wow, well, this person has this degree, but that's the job they get to do. So more of that type of education and starting at a younger age, like your son's in, middle school, get them
Right.
even earlier, opening up their eyes to what it really means to have a degree and all the opportunities, though, all the jobs that maybe fall into that degree category.
You know, and that makes me think, and I don't know, I don't, yet probably believe that my sixth grader has filled out one of those career assessment forms that I remember filling out in our day, in my day at least, in high school. And looking back or trying to think back what those were, where you filled out, what you're interested in, and it talked about what potential careers there were. From what I recollect, it was really a very limited and narrow focus description of jobs. Because I think that the point that you were making with an engineering background, but yet running a cosmetics company or being in that way, is that you can do really, at least we should be telling our children that they can do whatever they want with the degree. Engineering degree does not mean that you need to necessarily go into engineering. You may become a patent attorney. You can always do, if you like literature, you can do a double major, literature and biology. Or, and biology doesn't necessarily mean that, as you mentioned, that somebody might find in the lab. And one of the shows that I don't know if you watch it, I watch it, and I found that I really enjoy it. But I think that one of the shows that I like that tries to push away the stereotypes of women in, although I guess one of them is in a lab, but The Big Bang Theory is having a lot of characters on there in the STEM area, both men and women. And I guess as that show progressed, more women in the sciences came on to the show. But I, coming back to my point, is that I think that we need to encourage kids, our children, that You can do anything that you want with the science degree. You shouldn't feel that you'll be pigeonholed into what a particular segment of our society, or whether one adult or somebody else says, this is what an engineer does. You can make your own decision on what an engineer does. Do you think that's right?
Exactly. That is very true. I had told my daughter when we were deciding all of this, trying to help her decide, and she was saying, "Well, what if I want to be, a broadcast journalist like you are?" And I said, "Well, honestly, you can be a broadcast journalist and have an engineering degree.
Right.
No boss, no news director that I've ever talked to would turn someone down because they had a degree in engineering if they could do all of the other things that a journalist needs to do. So, but there are plenty of examples in broadcast of the people who go around and talk about the tech segment or they're just the law segment. They have a law degree, but they're the ones who go on CNN and speak to, whatever big legal case is making the news. So you are exactly right. But just, I think it's just so important to, I guess there are a lot of parents who are doing a great job with this already, but I know that when I was working full time with my TV job and raising three kids and running a household, that just it would just be barely it would be enough to just get the homework done. But
Right.
then when they're when the schools are, sending home the flyers or now emails about curriculum choices, I have to say I was exhausted and I did not pay attention to a lot of those choices. And luckily my kids were pretty self-sufficient and they would take care of a lot. But being involved in that, I think is very important. And I know a lot of parents are really good at that, but you can't ignore that stuff,
Right.
and I, different schools are better at getting that information to the parents than others, but you've got to be involved in that part of their lives, picking their classes and helping guide them while giving your knowledge of all your years of experience. And the kids roll their eyes when their parents are talking to them, but I think they listen, I think,
Yeah, I think that they do. I mean, what I have found with my own sons is that even when they give me the impression that they're not listening to me, I later see their own behavior reflecting the fact that they actually did listen. And one case in point right now I can think of is where, I was talking to one of my sons and saying, you really should check your homework again. And it, complete opposition to that idea, complete stubbornness. And so then I kind of just went on to do something else. And I saw him, quietly go over and check the homework. And I can even remember when I was a child, the resistance, I don't understand why it was there, but I think it's just natural. The resistance to listen to many things that our parents tell us. I think it's just natural to resist, but hopefully some of that goes through. I do not regret having a philosophy degree, but I wish that somebody had told me more. And I think my parents tried to tell me this, but that there was not, a huge market for philosophers waiting at the graduation line. But I certainly had I ended up where I wanted to be and so forth. And what's interesting though in law, going back just really quick if I could to the patent example, is that what's interesting to me is that if you go into STEM and you end up getting a degree in the sciences, you can still do almost you can probably do any area of law that you want. But if you have a liberal arts background, such as a bachelor's in philosophy, you cannot become a patent attorney. As much as you may love the technology, you have to have a science background to qualify as for the patent bar. And so the sciences, I think having that degree, whether that's where they end up going or not, gives much more opportunities than perhaps some other degrees. And I think we need to make a mention too. We're talking about how I agree many parents are doing a great job. There are other parents that just hopefully a little encouragement will cause them to take a step back and just focus on the curriculum one night, or take one night a month to just sit down with the kids and really get to know what's going on or finding that out. But I think we also need to make efforts as a society to make sure that all schools have those elective opportunities, because there's so many schools out there that might not have the funding or the opportunities to offer, let's say, a drone class or a computer class or something. Now, before I know that we're running out of time here, but before we do, I want to circle back to us talking about what you're doing with Women and Drones, and that's writing, kind of circling all the way back to where you started with encouragement to go into journalism, and combine that with what you were talking about, just women, young girls having role models or hearing about what other people are doing. And so with writing about women and drones, what are like one or two of the most fascinating stories? I'm sure they're all fascinating, but if you could pick one or two that you really think might be a great example for the listeners to hear about, that would be great if you could share it with us briefly.
Well, sure. I just interviewed a young lady by the name of Taylor Mitchum, and she is in the area of construction. And she was working for a construction company and heard some talk about we might be getting a drone. And so she kind of piped up and said, "Well, tell me about this drone." And the next thing you know, she was in charge of it. And drones are used extensively in areas of engineering and construction for all kinds of things. And she successfully launched, no pun intended, but that company's use of multiple drones for multiple projects, measuring and the infrared for finding structural issues, that kind of thing. I am not in the construction business, so but she now has gone on to another, start her own company called Sky Ninja, where she does consulting with lots of drone lots of construction companies on how they can
That is so
incorporate
cool. That is just
drones.
so cool.
So here is a woman who is not only flying drones, but she's also in an industry, construction, which is traditionally has far more men than it does women. So I was just so delighted to talk to her and hear her story. She's doing a great job kind of pursuing what ended up being her dream involving drones. It just kind of gave her that extra spark and take her career to the next level. So that's what she's doing.
Very cool. Well, what kind of drones do you fly in the one of the last minutes here that we have? Do you have a particular favorite drone, or are you allowed to say?
Yes, well, I have a unique Typhoon. Unique is a Chinese company. Most people are familiar with DJI. DJI is the company that kind of dominates the worldwide drone marketplace. Excellent drones, and I have a unique Typhoon, and it's interesting. I bought it 2 years ago and it's already outdated. So if you ever get frustrated by your computer or your phone, how quickly they come out, drones are even if they're coming out every day, and so it's really hard to keep up, but they're getting smaller and faster and doing some really amazing things. So
Great. And how, yeah, Wendy, if in the last few seconds here, if people are listening, and we could go on and on, and I'd love to have you back another time, but in the meantime, if people want to get in touch with Women and Drones, how best to do that?
Well, they are free to email me. I don't mind that at all. I love that. Wendy@womenanddrones.com. Our website is womenanddrones.com. We answer our mail that comes in directly to there, right off the contact icon there on our website. And love to hear from people.
Great. Well, Wendy, I really cannot thank you enough for being on. Because not only is it great to hear your voice on STEM Voices and talking about what you do, but I really enjoy drones and enjoy the technology. So it's just fascinating to have this conversation. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Charles. I really appreciate this opportunity. And I also wanted to mention you can find Women in Drones on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. Some people are, that's easier for them as well. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. We will look forward to having you back. And definitely, audience, for those listening now and into the future, check Women and Drones out. Very exciting endeavors. And if you have any ideas in your community or opportunities for young girls, young women, or women of any age to engage in drones, send them their way. This has been Charles Mudd, your host of STEM Voices, part of the STEM Daddy Network. It's been my pleasure to have a conversation with Wendy Erickson of Women in Drones, and we will talk with you soon. Thanks again, Wendy. Have a great day.
Thank you.